Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his own kin and in his own house." And Jesus could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Every year on the Learning Channel or the History Channel, inevitably there's a show about Jesus' hidden years. Hidden years, those are the 30 out of the 33 years he spent on earth. Those 30 years about which we know practically nothing. And, you know, one may claim that he went to India and studied with the great yogis. Others that he went to Tibet and did time with Buddhist monks. Others, this is really incredible as somebody of Irish descent, that he went to the British Isles to study with the Druids who practiced human sacrifice. I mean, you know, that one really gets me. But, you know, a lie is made of all of those claims by today's gospel. The Lord gets up in the synagogue in his hometown. He proclaims a homily after reading the scriptures. And what is the response of the people in Nazareth? Who does he think he is? This is the carpenter. You know, they're not saying, he got this from those yogis in India or from studying with the lamas in Tibet or the druids in Britain. No. Who does he think he is? He's the carpenter. Jesus was so outwardly ordinary. And yet, you know, he is the fullness of God's revelation to the human race. That's what we believe as Christians. We're not saying that there aren't elements of truth and goodness in other religions, but our belief about which we'll go to the wall is that the fullness of God's revelation was made in his Son, Jesus Christ. And the principle of revelation is this: God reveals himself in word. Jesus taught for 3 years. And deed. He lived on earth for 33 years. So 30 of the 33 years were spent outwardly an ordinary working man living in an ordinary town among ordinary people. So what's the message? What is God revealing? He's revealing that he likes ordinary people. He likes ordinary human life and experience, and that he has blessed and he has consecrated these. And that it is in being ordinary, for most of us, living an ordinary life among other ordinary people, that we find God and also find our way to holiness if we turn to God for his grace. How do we do that? That sounds great, you know, I mean, but practically speaking, how do you do that? Well, basically it means doing all the ordinary things you and I do, but doing them extraordinarily well. And that means that we do them out of love for God and for neighbor. Here's an illustration from our own Catholic history. One of the greatest Catholic artists was Michelangelo, lived in the 14 and the 1500s. Michelangelo wanted to do all of his art out of love for God and love of neighbor. Love of neighbor, he wanted to give us, you and me, something beautiful to look at that would lift our hearts and minds to God and remind us of divine truths and realities. Well, he certainly did that very well. But he also wanted to do it for God and out of love for God. And here's a true incident from his life. One of his sculptures that he managed to finish was really beautifully crafted. He was showing it to, I don't know if it was the Pope or a cardinal or somebody of great importance. You know, and this high-up person was admiring the art, saying, "Wow, Michelangelo, you've done an incredible job here." He said, "But I notice, you know, the statue is going to be placed in such a way that people only see the front. But you've made the back perfect as well. Nobody sees that." And Michelangelo answered, "God does. God does." He did everything as well as he could out of love for God and love for neighbor. Now, his life was not very ordinary, but we can take that principle to heart. I'm sure that our Lord's workmanship, that his carpentry, was first class, right? He didn't use his divine power. He didn't come into the carpenter shop, boom, and suddenly you have chairs and tables and everything. No, he worked with a saw and the plane, and, you know, he worked up a sweat, and he was tired at the end of the day, but he did the best he could for God and for his customers. And though he appeared outwardly ordinary, I'm sure that, number one, nobody could ever catch him in a sin, right? And number two, he probably had a great reputation as a conscientious and good worker, conscientious and good carpenter. So it's an ordinary life. You know, to really find God, that's how we please God in our ordinary life, but to find God in ordinary life, we've got to slow down. We are so distracted in our society. And it's always been a problem for human beings. The Chinese have an old saying, goes back centuries, the human mind is like a tree full of monkeys. And is that not the case? And, you know, we're always thinking about the future, what might happen, the past, all that we regret happened, but we're never here and now. And yet the present moment is all that is real. And it is in the present moment, in our present circumstances, ordinary people, ordinary lives, that God wants to meet us. You know, some of the rabbis say that the burning bush, right, that Moses saw and through which God spoke to him, it wasn't unusual for bushes to burn in the desert. Under the heat of the bush was dried out, boom, you know, like we're finding in California right now. But to know that the bush was burning without being consumed, Moses would have had to have paid attention to it for more than a second, more than a minute, more than several minutes. It meant that he was still, he was in the present moment, he wasn't distracted thinking, "Oh, Zipporah, my wife, she wants me to get a new camel. Can we afford that? I don't know, we have to send Gershom, his son, to school next year. Are we going to send him to school?" No, he was right there in the present moment, ready to meet God. And it's because he was paying attention that he noticed after several minutes, this bush is burning, but it's not burning up. There's something miraculous here. And he drew closer, and God spoke to him, right? So for you and for me, again, God is very subtle because he doesn't want to interfere with our free will. He speaks very quietly. Again, he doesn't want to interfere with our free will. That's why Jesus could not work many miracles among the people of Nazareth, because they didn't believe. He didn't want to force them into belief by performing miracles. He would only perform miracles generally for people who had already decided to believe. That way he's not forcing their hand. But we've got to be present to this moment to see what God is doing, and we have to be still and quiet. We have to cultivate that within ourselves to hear what he might be saying. There's a great scene in the play Joan of Arc by George Bernard Shaw, a wonderful Irish playwright, who was not terribly religious, but he had a good insight here. In the play, Joan is talking about what the heavenly voices are telling her. And the king of France says, "Your voices, I'm sick of hearing about your voices. I'm the king of France. Why don't your voices come to me?" And Joan answers, "They do, all the time. But you're so distracted, you can't hear them." So, ordinary life, but we're to live it extraordinarily well. Be in the present moment and cultivate inner silence, because I'm telling you, And you know it. God is working all the time. And if our eyes are open, we can see that. And he is speaking to us in many ways all the time. And if we just open our ears and listen, we can hear it. Present moment, ordinary people, but let's live our ordinary lives extraordinarily well.